Welcome back to Knox and Nature, the podcast about archery, hunting, hiking, conservation, firearms, and whatever else you feel like talking about. Episode 8 today. Episode 7 releases tomorrow, actually. So it's exciting.
Is that going to be all one episode?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. So episode 7, first guest, Kirk Phipps, which was fun. I am excited for that to drop. And then this episode will actually drop October 11th. So as people are listening to this, deer season's already been going on. So be pretty fun.
It's coming up fast.
I know. I don't feel very prepared for it either. Like, I know I'm good with my bow and everything, but I wish I had a little bit more time to sit down and, like, really dive into everything I want to do, like just perfect my saddle setup, perfect that backpack setup. You know, I'm going to learn as the season goes on, but
yeah, I wish I had time to change my arrow setup and stuff, because I know my bow's not quite perfect.
Yeah. It's like you almost got to have just a completely different arrow setup when you shoot 3D. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you're rocking the same bow, which is fine, but sometimes it's better to just have a different arrow set up and, like, two different sight tapes.
Right.
So, yeah. Coming up quick, man. Are you hunting opener?
No, probably that weekend.
Yeah, I will too.
But not the actual. I don't want to take time off work and all that. You know, I might hunt the evening if we have time.
That's literally exactly what I was thinking. So, me, for a couple reasons. Number one is the time off thing, which is just kind of like a cop-out. But two, I felt really really confident about how we were going to do with early antler list. I just felt like we were going to be in a good spot to be successful.
Right.
And then combine that with the fact of, like, okay, you're talking, what, 3 days before we'd be able to hunt, you know, our archery if we don't hunt opener. And to me, that's a big enough piece of property. And I think those neighbors don't hunt as hard as, like, you or I might. And I don't think they're going to put enough pressure on the deer to knock them completely off their pattern. I think they're just going to shift to, you know, that property or a neighboring property. But they're still going to be on a food cover pattern.
Are you hunting that property all season?
No.
Or is that going to be, like, your main?
It'll probably be main. And then we'll have, you know, a little bits of public that we'll go jump on.
Yeah, right.
I want to have something close to work to where if we get out at a decent time, we can just shoot over there and go sit for, you know, a couple hours or whatever. Cause I think it's just good to be able to have that in your playbook. You know, it might only take a couple hours to make it happen.
Right.
So I want to have a little bit of a couple public spots we can jump onto. Obviously, that property and then the big farm. You know, if I don't see a decent buck before rifle season, I'll probably hunt late season up at the farm.
Yeah.
Because bucks will go back onto a more of a food cover pattern after the rut, and they'll be. It'll be easier to get on something, but I'm just trying to be smarter. You know, last year I would have hunted opener and then I would have been in there all day, would have got there in the morning, left at like 11, gone and grabbed lunch, came back, hunted the afternoon, probably in a different spot, and then hunted Saturday and Sunday morning and evening, you know, and just immediately pressure the deer. And I don't think that that's necessary right now. I mean, historically speaking, we don't have a whole lot of, like, giant bucks roaming the property this time of year. So, if anything, I should be hunting a piece of public on opener, not that property, if I'm after a buck, right? Now, I could see a basket six or a spike or something like that. Like, we saw spikes during early antler list, but, you know, well, in the case of a spike, it's not legal, but, like, a basket 6-point, legal deer, not what I'm after, you know what I mean? So, just different priorities this year and trying to be a little bit smarter about it. But what about you? Are you going to primarily hunt public, you think, or?
Yeah, I'll probably be in public most of the time, unless we, you know, go back out to that spot or whatever if we do that. I don't really have a plan of where I want to focus. You know, I'll probably just around Kalkaska there and kind of hit my typical spots and see what I haven't been out there, so I haven't scouted at all, so I don't really know what the deer are doing, but I'll figure it out in season.
Yeah. And if you're familiar with the layout of the land, it shouldn't take you long to find some sign and put something together.
Yeah, for sure.
So, what about you, Jared? Primarily your dad's?
You know, I honestly haven't even asked him if he has a spot for me to hunt archery. I know I've got my rifle spot, but, you know, the hard thing is going to be finding a tree stand that we can, or a tree that we can put a stand in the swamp. But if not, there's a few other spots that I know we have tree stands up. They're not active hunting spots, so there's no food plot there. They're really old. They're back from when you were allowed to bait. So, and then the other thing is those, you know, hunting there is really only good on the weekends because it's an hour away from work.
Yeah, that's so, what I'm saying. I think we need to get a spot
that's an hour away.
We need to get a piece of public that's close.
It'd be nice to find a piece of public, and then I might just do like brush blinds or something because I can't. Yeah. I don't have a stand or a saddle or anything to use. So
yeah, the
that works. I hunted the first, I think, 2 years of archery just sitting on the ground. So
yeah, it's entirely possible. I mean, I think at this point the only real advantage to getting up in a tree is where we're at. You don't even really get a line of sight advantage because you can't really see far anyway with the canopy. It's more just for cover. You get out of the line of sight of the deer, and it gives you a little bit of an edge. But if you got cover around you, you know, you're sitting on a bucket or something, you got a deer walks by at 20 yards, even if you have to stand up to take a shot, you should be all right. I'm just going to have to kind of be smart about it. But yeah, you want to talk about early antlerless?
Let's do it.
It was
fun.
When I get
mine out of the way, it seems that was boring.
Yeah, if you want. Yeah. This past weekend was early antlerless. We all went out to a piece of private and got after it. So go ahead, bud.
Yeah, I had a disaster morning. Couldn't find any of my camo gear, any of my hunting clothes. Did not get my muzzleloader sighted in all the way, so I had to borrow one of Justin's 4570s. And got out to the blind, all set up. Way too foggy to see anything, and I was down in a valley, so the fog stayed way later than anywhere else. I ended up hearing a gunshot go off, and because of the gunshot, I noticed some deer running, and they kind of chilled out, and they were wandering around in this field, but, you know, I'm putting the binoculars on them and the scope, and you can barely make out a blob through all the fog. So, and then after that, the only other deer I saw was a spike, so no doe for me.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
The fog was super crazy, especially where you were kind of in a low spot.
Yeah, well, it stayed later than I think you guys, because you guys were taking shots that I couldn't even take at 50 yards right through the fog. Well, and then it kind of lifted, but then it came back because there was, over to my right, I don't know if there's a wet area over there or what, but the fog was really heavy over to my right.
Yeah, that feeds into... it's kind of like a dried creek bed, and then there's a watering hole down in that corner.
Yeah.
You could have, depending on where you were looking, you could see a giant maple tree.
Yep.
On the far east side to your right facing out of that blind. And probably, I don't know, 40 yards to the north of that, there's a pond, you know, watering hole or whatever.
Yeah, I was kind of facing straight that way, and then out to my left is where the landowner kind of said, you know, you want to look this way. So
yeah. Yeah, and stuff could have come in behind you, too. But the guy across the road...
That's the way the spike came in, was behind me. But, yeah, I was kind of watching.
The guy across the road, I don't think, shot anything either. Because there was that easement that runs right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's the thing. Is that, like, I couldn't really look to the right because he said there's a guy right there. Don't take any shots that direction.
Yeah.
And then he was kind of, you know, back behind me to my left. So I didn't really want to take shots that direction either.
For sure. Yeah. It was a tricky spot, and it sucks because, you know, during regular firearm season, that spot's going to be killer.
Oh, yeah. You can see out over that field there. You can take a... I think I was playing with a new rangefinder. There was like a 280-yard shot you could take.
Justin, in the spot he was sitting, you could stretch that to probably 750.
Yeah.
Damn.
There's some far shots there. If you were shooting 750 yards, though, you would have been shooting basically straight towards me. So that would have been not so good.
Right. I don't want to do that.
But, yeah. I actually surprised myself. I was in a spot that was way, way far out of the way. I mapped it out on Onyx. It was like 900 yards, 940 yards or something like that. And I only had to hike the way in because I ended up shooting three deer, thankfully. So then, you know, property owner came, picked me up on the Ranger, and that was that. But I sat down. First of all, I got to the stand with like 5 minutes left before legal light, which was way later than I wanted to be. But we showed up. I had to get you guys outlined. Then I had to drive around the opposite end of the property and access it from the other easement. And then to hike a half mile in. But that Kefaru pack, dude, I did not feel that thing on my back. Like that, I know. And I was carrying... That bag probably weighed 30 pounds.
Yeah.
With all awesome. The stuff, because I had all my camera gear in there as well. The only thing I didn't like was it was kind of hard to sling my gun because of the load lifters.
Yeah, it makes it kind of weird.
Yeah, so that was a little bit difficult. But other than that, I mean, I just walked with my gun in my hand and kind of held it out in front of me, got rid of all the spider webs, and got down in the stand. I texted Justin. I was like, dude, like, I was like, are you seeing anything? And he's like, yeah, there was a couple, you know, it's foggy, whatever. And I was like, yeah, this spot kind of sucks ass. It's like, I'm probably not going to see shit. 10 minutes later, I hear a gunshot go off. Justin wallops one, 280 yards, literally like the perfect spot to shoot it. Shot it right on the road.
Yeah, it died on the two track. It was sweet.
And so... Like, he's texting me about that. I'm, like, looking on Onyx trying to figure out where that's at. And then all of a sudden, I look up, because, of course, it always catches me, right? I'm on my phone talking to him about he shot one. Probably 5-10 minutes after you shot the first one.
Yeah, it wasn't very...
I look up, and there's a doe standing at 20 yards, you know? And I'm shooting 308, so I was expecting to shoot, like, 100, you know, 200 yards. And then the spot I was in, I was like, dude, I'm not going to have a shot over... 70, and I didn't have a shot over 30 all day.
Right.
So this doe comes in 20 yards, first time I ever shot deer with this gun, and I wasn't entirely sure where to aim, so I was like, well, screw it, I'm just gonna aim, you know, like middle of the lung, and it'll probably drop a little bit, and hopefully I hit heart. And it didn't. I was a little too far back by the time I actually took the shot to hit heart, but. Yeah, hit her right in the lung, all three of them. Good lung shots, good mature does. And that's what I was happy about, is like you and I didn't shoot. We didn't shoot any button bucks. We didn't shoot anything like super small.
Right.
They were all, you know, adult does. But I had that one at 20. She busts out of there, watched her crash down the hill. I had a second one come in. That was like the furthest one at like 30 yards. Shot her, and she ran off. I didn't watch her crash, but heard her, so I'm like, I'm two down, like, let's go. I had two more does come in, and the bigger ones, the one I shot, that the real big bitch, and she literally almost walked into the blind. I bet she was seven yards from the blind, and then stopped and kind of looked at me, you know, and I'm like stone cold, not moving at all, like literally trying to be as still as possible.
Yeah.
And she kind of like looks at me and she picks her head up and she's like trying to figure it out. And then she like kind of runs off and ran to like, you know, 20 yards. And then she's like looking at me. She takes a step out and I'm like, dude, if she takes another step past that tree, she's done. She's at like 20 yards. Bring my gun up. She takes like two more steps, stops in the middle of the two track. I put it right on her heart, pull the trigger, boom, she drops right in the middle of the two track. So it was awesome because when he came to pick up my deer, I was like, yeah, hey, by the way, you might run this one over on your way in. So that was a good time, though. Three deer, I mean, in less than 3 hours.
Right. Pretty good.
It came together quick.
Yeah, it did. And that's like, you know, I shot my first one.
The fog too, which was impressive.
In the fog. So the fog went away. You know, I saw there was two does out there. You know, I watched them for a little bit and was trying to, you know, figure out if it was something I wanted to shoot or not. Cause you know, they were way out there and you know, I couldn't really tell if they were small or not. It was just hard to see. And you know, then I was kind of looking at it and the other one, once they kind of got together, cause they came from two different sides. Or two different ways. Once they kind of got together, I could see the one was a lot smaller. So I was like, oh, you know, the bigger one's got to be a, you know, nice adult doe.
Right.
And, you know, then the, I don't know what spooked these deer, but there was two that came running up basically from like my blind area. There was that group of pine trees.
Yeah.
So they kind of came running up from the right. And that put the does that I was watching kind of at attention. And the smaller one split, and the bigger one there was about to go. Like, I was like, oh, that's it. And, you know, I was kind of waiting for just to watch him a little bit and you know, find a good shot. She was a little bit quartering to me, so I wanted her to turn broadside a little bit. But then I was like, man, she's about to split. And, you know, I shot. And I couldn't really tell if, you know, I didn't see her run or anything. And the other one already ran away. But it turns out she just dropped, you know, right there.
Oh, yeah. She
didn't take a step.
We went and recovered my deer first because I was furthest away from where we were going to process or field dress everything. Literally could have run your deer over as well.
Oh,
right,
yeah.
Right in the middle, right on the side of the two track.
And but like right after I shot. The fog picked up so bad, I couldn't even see the spot. Like, I couldn't see the side of the hill anymore.
So you said there was two deer down in the pines that got, like, jumped up and spooked off. Where did they run to?
They ran, I mean, still going west, but a little bit south, kind of towards that other big strip of Christmas trees.
Towards basically where you shot that other deer.
Yeah, they ran up. I mean, they were running pretty much right towards it, and then they veered off. They, you know, took a left a little bit. But I don't know what spooked them, or I don't know where they came from, really. All of a sudden, I just saw the tails bouncing.
Unless they were bedded in there, and then, because they, like, very rarely will the does that I've watched from that stand, very rarely will they just walk across the field.
Yeah.
If they want to get to the other side, they just start running.
Right.
So they might have just wanted to get up. I don't know.
Yeah, and I mean, I did see that one that was kind of took the same path that was walking later, but she was walking just dead straight away from me. I never had a shot.
Could you see where I was hunting from your spot or no?
He could probably, if he I think knew about, what he was looking for, he could have probably seen the top of the shack.
Yeah, but those, because I had a row of pine trees as well out to my left. If I'm looking down towards that water hole, there's that row of pine trees to my left and then that big field.
Yeah, I don't know. I never passed the cabin. I never really
looked
that way.
If you kind of look over the cabin.
No, so I was looking like the tree stand was on my right.
Yeah.
And then the field and pine trees were on my left, and then there were a few brush piles like right in front of me. It was kind of like a line of pine trees separating. There was a nice smooth field, and then right where I was kind of like a rolling natural field.
Yeah.
This other one looked like he had been doing stuff with food plots or something.
Yeah.
And this rolling one, it kind of sucked because they go down to that valley and they disappear.
The flat one you're talking about over to the left. Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. Different row of pine trees.
Okay.
Different row of pine trees.
Because I had
that row of pine trees runs north and south.
Yeah, because I was going to say those, the first two that I saw, it was a smaller one and a doe, and they took off kind of right as the fog was starting to lift. So
we kind of use that. That's like a, I don't know. It's like a natural barrier to the field, basically. Unless you're planning on going to do work or go hunting, if you're out on the property, like if we were to go out there and go shoot bows or go shoot rifles or something, we're not going to walk past those pine trees unless we intend to go do work or something in the field. Mm-hmm. We kind of let the deer have that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's just kind of like the natural line that's easier. Because we've done like, we did a shed hunting party and, you know, had a bonfire and they cooked pizzas and all that stuff, so... It was fun, but it's, you know, we just kind of try to minimize how much stomping around we do as much as possible.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's kind of my parents' land. They've, for the longest time growing up, we'd go back there and do, like, you know, quad rides and take hook up a trailer and throw a picnic table on it and stuff, a little redneck wagon ride and whatnot, you know.
There you go.
Go through the woods, and now it's, like, the only person that goes back there is my dad to do food plots, and then... us to go hunting. No one else goes back there now.
Yeah, so. It's. I mean, it's kind of different, I guess. Like shit just changes with whatever your goal is with the property. You know
what
I mean?
It's before it was like we used the land as however we wanted, you know, for entertainment, for hunting, for in the winter we'd be ripping around in snowmobiles. Now it's like that land is just dead from the end of hunting season to the beginning of hunting season, other than my dad screwing around back there doing food plots. The only other person back there is my grandpa doing stuff without permission because he's the guy who can do whatever he wants.
Well, I feel like a lot of grandpas have that privilege.
Well,
they just
considering he used to be the landowner.
Yeah.
He still treats it like it's his.
I mean...
He's funny.
It is what it is, man.
He's part of that, you know, the generation of, hey, we've got, you know, 4-point rule or whatever, and we're moving to 5-point rule, and, you know, on each side, we want to take eights and tens and whatnot, and he's, if it's got 3 antlers, it's good, or 3 points, I'm taking it.
If it's legal, I'm shooting it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, whatever. How many years does he have left? So we'll let him have his fun.
Well, and on a property like that, I mean... caliber of deer you guys are producing.
Yeah.
When a 2-year-old sneaks through once a year and he shoots a buck, if he shoots a buck every year.
We'll also selectively like hunt the ones with bad genetics. You know, we'll get some that have freak heads or whatever and we'll take them out.
Like a non-typical or just shit genetics?
Non-typical or really small, just bad genetics, you know, as long as it's legal. Try to thin them out.
That's surprising. Because if I had a non-typical, like, 3-year-old, I don't want to shoot it.
I like non-typical bucks. I think
cool. I'd want to see what it does.
Right.
See, I think they're cool as well, but we had one. The
nothing's
antler was
prettier
growing
than
out,
typical,
like,
though.
Sideways from its head, though.
Really?
Yeah. So my dad's like, yeah, we need to get rid of him.
Yeah, that's weird. That's weird. Nothing's prettier than a typical, though. But then there's also some non-typicals that look like typicals.
Right.
That, like drop
they're just
tine.
Like a typical with a drop tine or something.
Yeah, or split brows. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like because that's technically considered semi-non-typical. So, like, for instance, if that deer scored 213 inches, it would never classify as a typical world record because it's a semi-non-typical. Which sucks, but it's still really cool.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, like, I would still consider that a typical. Yeah. Personally,
we've got some genetics running around back there that are producing double main beams.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, that's cool stuff.
I think it's cool because the first time we saw it, I'd never seen it. It was the cousin's property butts right up to ours, and he got it. And then the next year, we saw another one someone got. And the next year after that, there was two more. We're like, we're obviously that thing bred, and they, yep. the rest of them continue breeding. Cause
yeah.
Got twice as much antler, twice as strong to fight with, I guess.
Yeah, something. And they look goofy. Like, some of the times you'll see them, they get a big knot on the end of the antler, and then there's, like, a hole going into it. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
My grandpa got one of those last year.
Sometimes you get a drop tine that just looks like a G3, just like a standard, you know, whatever. And sometimes it's this big fucking bulb, you know, like it's just, I don't know. There's some
looks like
freak
a
racks,
chunk
dude.
Of flat bar hanging down off the.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah, right?
Oh, that was the other thing in Wisconsin and the Dakotas and parts of Ohio. They're starting to see deer with like paddled antlers. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense, you know, where mm-hmm. the main beam's not just like, you know, cylindrical, it's like a flat blade. And I guess kind of more like an elk antler, but also kind of like a moose.
Right.
I think that looks really fucking cool.
It does look cool.
Because it's just, I mean, it's probably no different mass wise if you were to like squish it into a circle from like a typical, you know, just mm-hmm.
right.
heavy mass deer.
Yeah, the cross-sectional area.
But it just
same.
Makes them look fucking huge. So you know, that part is exciting because hopefully some of those genetics start to get into Michigan and you know we start seeing some of that. Oklahoma passed legislation. They're going to allow genetically immune deer, I guess, or genetically resistant deer into the wild. So it's basically a pen deer with a CWD resistance gene, and they're going to release that into the wild to help the deer population. But it's a pen deer, so whether it's a buck or a doe, it's got some sort of freak genetics to it. You know what I mean? It might not be like the crazy stuff you see, but if that deer's throwing a 170 as a two-year-old, I mean, that's good genetics, dude.
Right.
For a, you know, public or whatever, non-farm deer, that's fucking sweet.
Yeah, that'd be crazy. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's wild. I mean, it makes sense. It's smart that they would do that, but then at the same time, it's like, all right, this isn't really a wild animal at this point.
Right.
I mean, it is.
It does get kind of weird, but it's super interesting what different wildlife agencies do for, you know, disease control and stuff like that. Like, it's just cool.
Well, and people have made the argument of, like, if you shoot a deer in Ohio, you know, or Nebraska or Iowa, are you really shooting a non-GMO deer? Because it's eating genetically modified corn all day long.
Yeah, right.
So it's organic, but you really can't say it's non-GMO because everything's a GMO.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's the funniest thing. So, like, it's apple season, right? My family and I went and picked apples. This is actually a week ago, whatever. Went and picked a bunch of Honeycrisp apples. And I overheard this lady telling her husband or boyfriend or whatever. She's like, yeah, we got to ask them if they sell organic or we got to ask them if they sell non-GMO Honeycrisp apples. And I'm thinking to myself,
that's not possible.
Clearly, this person doesn't know anything because about apples, at least, because there's no such thing as a GMO-free Honeycrisp apple. The whole thing is a GMO.
Right.
So, and like with most apples, I mean, corn's the same way. I'm sure most
produce
food products,
is the same
yeah,
thing.
Cherries, I know, are also the same way. It's like, it's not always bad, but you want that huge, you know, juicy and sweet Honeycrisp apple. Well, that's a combination of like 14 different apples to produce a Honeycrisp. So, or what, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, you can't say it's not, I mean, Johnny Appleseed, GMOs. That's pretty much all you got to think about. And deer are eating apples too. So yeah. It is what it is, but I am super excited to get some venison back from the processor though.
Me too. I made jerky the other day.
Did you?
Yeah. And,
out of venison?
Yeah.
Word?
Yeah.
Like meat sticks? You got like a jerky gun or something?
No, I just cut up a roast.
Oh, right. Just dehydrated it or something?
Yeah. I just used my smoker.
Cool. How'd it turn out?
Pretty good. I think I overcooked it a little bit. I was thinking it took longer than what it did. Or
is it too hard or?
I don't know. It's just, and I think it's fine, but.
Did you put a bunch of liquid smoke in there so it?
No.
So guys that use just a dehydrator, I've had venison jerky that's really good, and I've had venison jerky that's really bad.
Yeah.
What I don't like is the guys will use liquid smoke because they're trying to get that smoky flavor, but you can, like, a little goes a long way that stuff. And so I had a guy make me some venison jerky from a deer that I shot, and it was just, like, overwhelming. Right. I literally took the whole bag and threw it out.
Yeah.
I was like, Dad, try this. You like it? He's like, that's terrible. I was like, Nate, you know, try this. You like it? No, it's terrible. I threw it out. Like, yeah. Nobody's going to eat this. This is disgusting.
Yeah, I had a guy up in the UP when I was living up there. He smoked an entire hind quarter for me, and he had a deli slicer. He sliced it up and whatnot, right? And he hands it, gives me, you know, half of it back or whatever. And
it had the silver skin on it?
No, he didn't do that. Like, he cleaned it up nice. He cooks food and smokes food for a living on the side. And it's most of the stuff he made was phenomenal. It was delicious. But this thing came back, and it was so smoky. It was like smoked fish smoky.
See, I can't do that.
It's really easy to overdo it with red meat and smoking.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you're like making a brisket or something, but like.
Even that, like.
You don't want to be eating just smoke flavor, though. Yeah. That's the thing.
So right. I only smoke, like, you know, the way my smoker's set up, it smokes for like an hour.
Yeah.
And like, there's only like actively, like,
right,
you know, having the smoke on for an hour.
So, speaking of smoking, I'm making ribs this weekend.
Nice. Good to know.
If anyone wants to try some of those.
I do.
Actually, I think you made ribs. No, we did brats or something one time.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I've had, so like Okie's Tavern in Interlochen there.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite restaurants when I can get over there. Because, you know, it's just kind of a haul. But they have smoked chicken wings and they smoke their burger meat or their patties or something.
Hmm.
It's got a smoky flavor to it. Dude, it's delicious.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the best. I don't know about the burgers because normally I eat the wings. They have the best chicken wings that I've ever had in Michigan, period.
I've never been there.
You need to go. Do you like chicken wings?
Yeah.
You should go just for their chicken wings and get the plain buffalo sauce. If you like ranch with your wings like I do, they've got really good homemade ranch as well.
Hmm.
It's fucking unbelievable. You could literally eat. Now, number one, they've got a really good buffalo sauce regardless for the chicken wing, but they also season and smoke the chicken before they put that on. So you could eat the chicken just, you know, as like a chicken wing with no sauce on it.
Yeah.
And then they put like homemade, I don't know if it's homemade, but they put like a quality buffalo sauce on it.
Right. You're getting really fired up over there. You're like starting to sit up in your chair and get all close to the mic and use your hands.
I love it. Their chicken wings are so good. I just like buffalo wings in general.
I do too. I usually get them just plain and then do the sauce on the side.
So then you can add your own?
Yeah, and then I can get like three different kinds of sauces and dip them and whatever.
That's really nice if you're ordering to go, then they don't get super soggy.
Right.
Because that's my biggest thing. Like, it's hard to get chicken wings to go anywhere because it's just, they get hot, they stuff them in a box, condensation, and everything gets soggy.
Yeah.
That's the other thing, smoking wings. You guys ever notice that they're usually a little bit soggier when you smoke them?
Yeah, they are.
So my dad, he'll smoke wings and then throw them in. He's got, I don't know, some fancy oven where the whole thing, they can put it on air fryer mode.
Yeah.
It's like do that at the end, oven. You know, crisp them up.
Yeah. That's what I've done with like steaks and stuff. I'll
smoky fried wings.
Yeah. Our I'll oven
smoke
does
them
that
for like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And then throw it in the oven and finish it off.
The other thing that, since we're on this topic of ovens, I guess, my parents just got this first time in my life that I've ever cooked on a gas stove. Because the last time my parents had a gas stove, I was too young to be doing any of that.
Yeah.
They, like the stovetop, you have like your typical four burners or whatever, and then the center is a flat top grill.
Mm-hmm.
So I can just throw my bacon on there in the morning. Like if I'm cooking for myself on the weekend, I can throw bacon on there. And then once the bacon's done, I can cook my eggs in the bacon grease. Dude, it's so good. Love that.
Yeah. I know my parents is all electric and stuff. And I tell you what, living up in the UP, I was in a real shithole. But it had a natural gas oven. And it was nice cooking on a consistent heat.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's why, like, I have the electric, but I use cast iron pans.
Yep. Because they stay hot.
They stay hot. It just, like, you know, any other pan, it was just super inconsistent.
Yeah.
And it's still not great, but it's a lot better than it was.
The other thing.
Nothing beats a good.
No, no.
You know.
Good lodge.
Gas, yeah.
Cast iron skillet. The other thing, like, I really love, breakfast omelet, you know, like ham and cheese omelet or whatever in the morning. And cooking that on a gas stove takes me, I don't know, 5-7 minutes. Cooking one on an electric stove took me like 15.
Oh, yeah.
It was literally half the time.
Yeah.
Because I just get it cranking. Get the pan super hot first and then dial it down or whatever. But it's like a little egg burrito. I don't know. There's something cool about cooking on natural gas.
Yeah. I grew up with it, so I've been used to it. But then I switched to electric at my house now, and it's like, nah.
I didn't realize you could use a cast. Does it take a while for it to get hot?
Oh, yeah.
To cast iron? That's what I figured.
You can use cast iron on anything. All these myths and stuff.
It would make sense that it works because it's going to be hot to the...
Yeah,
no, the only thing... I don't think you can use cast iron on convection. Where it's they put the current through the pan to get it hot. Those are the ones that like aren't actually hot to the touch. They send a current through the pan and that's what gets it hot. Pretty sure that's the one you can't use.
Yeah, there is a certain... I can't remember what it is. I think it is that. But I always knew there was a certain type of stove that you couldn't use, or stove top that you couldn't use cast iron on.
Might be that.
Some people say like glass top. You can't use it on a glass top.
That's just because they don't want you to scratch the glass.
Right, but like, you're not going to scratch it. Anyone
well,
can
I
scratch
can
it,
see how it would be harder because like, so like specifically the Lodge cast iron pans, a lot of them have the logo on the bottom.
I got the Wildlife Editions. So like, you know, my big one has like a freaking bear on it. And then the slightly smaller one has a nice buck.
Right, but like, so that's not completely flat on the bottom.
No.
So you don't have as great of surface when you're cooking on electric.
Right.
If it's gas, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But on an electric stove, it's going to take a long time for that pan to heat up.
Yeah, it takes, if I'm like searing a steak or something.
Yeah. Oh,
it takes forever.
Yeah.
I mean, while we're on the topic, how do you fellas prefer your venison?
Ooh. Wrapped in bacon.
Wrapped in bacon?
Yeah.
I do like that. What I started doing, that's why I left when we took those deer to the processor, I left the back straps whole.
Yeah.
Is because you can take it and fillet it open.
Butterfly it.
And put like chopped up jalapenos and cream cheese in there. Close it back up. Wrap it in bacon.
There's going to be some guys that are... believe that's sacrilegious with the back strap.
It might be.
I don't really care.
And if they're whole, like I, because most of the time I eat them, like I just cut them up in, you know, little fillets or whatever. 90% of the time, that's what I do.
Yeah. So the only time I've had elk backstrap, I've had elk jerky a lot, or like an elk steak. You can get elk steak sometimes at certain restaurants.
I had an elk steak once from my uncle, and it was tough as just like chewing on a boot.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I had elk backstrap one time, and it was butterflied, And then they had like some, I don't know even what the sauce was. I didn't ask questions. It tasted good. But that was like the best way because it just pulls apart.
Was it cream of some young guy?
No, I think it was closer to like a cowboy butter type of thing.
Yeah.
Mm. But yeah, if I'm going to eat a backstrap, I'm pretty sure butterfly in it. In whichever way you do it, the cream cheese and jalapenos, I'm sure, would be good. But regular, you know, SPG plus a little butter, I think that's, in my opinion,
that's pretty good.
Pretty good.
I've had it that way quite a few times. And then if you do, you know, obviously don't use a whole backstrap on this, or if you just do steaks from a quarter or something, you take flour it, egg it, and then Italian breadcrumbs.
You're going to fry it?
And then you do like a country fried deer steak.
That would be, I bet that would be pretty good.
You know,
as long as you
before?
Get a lot of black pepper in there, mm-hmm. spice it up just to, you know, get a little.
I've used some crushed up hot spicy Cheez-Its.
Instead, the jalapeno ones or whatever? Yeah.
Instead of breadcrumbs and use those.
Oh, we use like, the Italian breadcrumbs because it's already seasoned.
Yeah.
We did, my mom made meatloaf one time when my dad was big into keto. She did a meatloaf, and instead of breadcrumbs, she used pork rinds.
Oh, yeah.
So now she makes meatloaf with pork rinds. It gives it just a little bit extra flavor. Dude, it's legit. It makes all the
like,
difference.
Kirk is doing that.
He's doing the carnivore.
Yeah, because anytime he wants to do something with like breadcrumbs or something, he uses pork rinds.
Yeah. Well, that carnivore is hard because like he's not even supposed to be eating cheese or anything. If he's doing like straight carnivore.
You can do old like aged cheese in small amounts.
Gotcha.
Like hard, not the good ones.
Yeah. Not like smoked Gouda or something.
Yeah.
Or Pepper Jack. Pepper Jack's slowly becoming my favorite cheese.
Really? Dude, when I was a kid, yeah. I used to tear up Pepper Jack.
I used to be a Colby Jack guy. That's
really?
Why.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was always Super. Pepper Jack as a kid.
Yeah. Pepper Jack.
Pepper
and
Jack.
Now, like, the good sharp cheddar.
Sharp cheddar's good.
I'm,
and Swiss. I used to never eat Swiss, but I can appreciate a good turkey Swiss.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm going to go to the store and buy one of every type of cheese I can find and just try them all out.
Well, be, like, also, Gruyere, being Brie. At Tech... You were around a bunch of Wisconsin fellas.
Oh, yeah.
They,
my
I'm
buddy,
sure, brought you a bunch of cheese.
My buddy was doing a co-op in southern Wisconsin, so he didn't have anyone down there they knew other than an aunt and an uncle. And he ended up living with them for the summer, and he just got hammered one night. Went out, burned the tires off his truck, like doing burnouts and shit, and then went inside, raided the cheese drawer, and just emptied it. Ate all the cheese in the fridge.
Wow.
I mean, just classic Wisconsin.
That was a rough couple of weeks.
Classic Wisconsin. Right. Oh, no, I think he's used to that. Dude drinks like a gallon of milk.
What? I haven't drank milk in over a year, probably a year and a half now.
Wow.
And so everyone refuses. It's got to be whole milk.
Oh, yeah, I used to drink only whole milk and 2%. I wouldn't drink anything less than 2%. Like a 1% or like skim milk doesn't taste like anything to me.
Just water.
It's just colored water, yeah. Even 2%, I've had 2% that's pretty much just water.
Mm-hmm.
Whole milk is good, but yeah, it's like just really not good for you as an adult. At least so I've been told. And I think that was part of my issues, why I was, because I stopped not entirely from drinking milk, because I also became more conscious about particularly how much I'm eating, not even necessarily what I'm eating, and dropped some weight. But yeah, like I used to have just some gut issues, probably some like lactose intolerance, to be honest.
Oh, yeah.
And
I get the lactose-free milk now.
Yeah.
See, everyone thinks they're lactose intolerant. I think it's fake.
Well, I wouldn't care either way. I've never been, like, you know, diagnosed with anything, but I just noticed that, I mean, regardless, when you eat, like, a bunch of sugar in, like, ice cream or something, like, yes, it's dairy, you know, whatever, but also that's just a heavy meal in general, so I feel like garbage after that.
Anyway. Oh, yeah.
Like, because... Right now, if I have milk or something, I'll have an upset stomach. But I had it every day growing up as a kid. And when I was in school, I would drink it all the time, you know, at up at Tech there.
Yep.
Because it was always there. We'd have a ton of cheese, milk, ice cream, all that, you know, plenty of dairy products, and I never had a problem, but now I do. I think it's just when you stop eating something for a while and then you go back to it.
Oh, for sure.
It could be. Could be just getting older. Like, that's the theory, is just as you get older, your body can't process that lactose as easily. Because we were also never supposed to drink cow milk. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of... It is a little fucked up.
When you sit back and think about it.
It's a little fucked up. But at the end of the day, you're also helping out the cow because they could get backed up and you know, whatever. There's a whole bunch of... I'm not a dairy farmer, but I know that it's not like...
You're just being a good guy.
Well, no, seriously, though, but because if you have a dairy cow and she doesn't have, you know, enough calves to consume all the milk she's producing, especially if she's bred just to produce milk, she could get backed up and, like, her, whatever you, milk ducts, I guess. Like, before...
Her udders.
No, before the teats. Whatever. The, that she can have issues with that, whatever. Yeah. But cows are nasty, dude. I don't know.
Cows are fucking dumb.
Cows are dumb. Cows aren't as bad as, definitely not as bad as chickens. Probably not as bad as pigs. But they're still like, they're constantly getting sores in their feet because they get a rock stuck in their toe and then they're walking in their shit all day and so then everything gets infected. It's like, ugh. I mean, horses are bad enough, but at least horses aren't doing dumb shit like that.
Horses are smart.
Yeah.
You know, they still piss all over themselves, so.
Yeah.
There's that, but. Justin's still afraid of horses, so.
I'm not afraid of horses.
Are you afraid of the horse girls?
Yeah.
They're, I would be,
they're
too.
They're way worse.
I don't know why, but these headphones are hurting my ears today.
Yeah, my ears feel agitated.
It's weird.
It's weird.
Are you getting any of that?
I got nothing. I got no problem. These are way comfier than my earmuffs at work, so.
Oh, yeah. The earmuffs at work are rubber on the muff.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's like, it's just constantly.
It's all sweaty.
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
I can barely wear them now that I don't have hair. It feels so bad. It's
dude, they're
gross.
So.
Slip and slide.
Yeah, and I'm just like, fuck this.
And they're so quiet.
Yeah, I can't hear anything.
They don't
like
get
it used
loud
to be.
At all.
Seems like they used to be
broken.
Way louder.
Yeah, mine are broken.
I think mine have just been dropped.
I think
and
we've dropped all of ours
so many
enough
times.
To where they just yeah. it.
And then my earbuds. I've got those, you know, earplugs that are buds, and those things don't.
They're not loud either.
Oh no, I've dropped them a few times, and being out at the chemical plant and whatnot, I think they got screwed up.
Oh,
like,
I thought
they don't
you
even
just
work in
those.
One ear, and
yeah,
they got dropped off the top of a tank once. So,
I've got those Beats Studio Buds, and I got about a year and a half out of those, and then the right one went out. It just sounds like static now. It's just speaking of Kirk,
he leaving.
Yeah, he's leaving. So,
could have had him on again.
Could have had him on. Yeah, for. You know, a couple minutes. I'm sure he had a rough day. I'm sure he's ready to go home and get to bed.
Yeah, he's got a long drive too.
True, yeah. And it's pitch black outside, so the deer will be everywhere, I'm sure. But yeah, man. I'm honestly just excited for the season. I mean, you combine the fact of like you know, we've got a bunch of deer coming from the processor plus archery season's right around the corner. I mean, we're setting ourselves up already to have a really fun season.
Oh, yeah. The pressure's off.
No, the pressure's off, exactly. Like,
I'm excited for deer camp at Justin's cabin.
Oh, hell yeah. Well,
I'm,
and it's sweet
I'm
this
really
year.
Pumped for that.
But I don't want to take
time
off. And you guys are
time
playing euchre.
That sucks.
The guys up there know how to play euchre. I don't. I've never.
You're going
to
learn.
Yeah. But anyways. it's sweet. What is it? Let me look on my calendar here.
I think opening day is a Thursday.
Friday.
Is it a Friday?
So, like, I'm going to take Friday off. I might take Thursday off, too.
I'll probably
like if you guys
want to
just come up
Friday
for the
off.
For the weekend or whatever, you know, we can.
Is that like opening day rifle season?
Yeah,
it's on a Friday. Yeah,
ooh. That's when you're up there.
I'm gonna be up there from that's Thursday, Thursday Doug. You know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and I might.
When
take
else
Monday
would you go?
Too.
But yeah, you're not. Are you gonna hunt like, Thursday with your bow, or are you just traveling up there?
I don't know. I usually hunt before, but usually I have.
What's the drive? How long?
Hour and a half from my house.
That's not that bad.
No, it's not bad at all.
We should have deer day off work.
You could talk to Alan about it, but I don't know. I doubt he'd give us a day off. Just he might.
He might. He's that kind of guy, right? You know, it's like at school. We get deer day off and not what? MLK day.
I didn't.
Well,
get,
he's gonna be off.
I didn't
too,
get
probably.
Deer day off.
You didn't get deer day off?
No.
Did you get MLK day off?
I didn't.
No.
You didn't get either.
What no, but
you?
We got out of school.
I didn't get.
We
deer
got
day
out of
off.
School like June 6th. Though.
Did you get MLK day off?
I think so.
Okay.
I don't remember.
We got out of school like June 6th, though.
That's
you
a,
probably got
that's
out like
about
the
12th. Time that we know. Well, I don't know. It's been so long.
Yeah, I don't know.
Junior year was the last time I actually finished.
Oh, dude, senior year, I think I was, I think my last day of school was like May 15th.
Yeah, mine was after the second trimester because of COVID.
Well, yeah, that's true. That was my junior year. March 13th was my last day of school.
Yeah.
So.
Bummer.
Yeah, such a bummer. I made like fucking 10 grand that summer because I just worked from March to October. Like, whatever. Don't know where any of that money went to Red Bull and steak at Outback Steakhouse or something, but whatever.
That's the way it goes.
Yeah, is what it is. Oh, are you dialed? Is your bow dialed?
It's good enough. It's not where I want it to be. But without changing arrows and doing all, it's as good as it's gonna get with the current setup. I got to get a stiffer arrow.
Yeah. You got to do something because the inconsistencies that you're having, I don't think that.
Well, now it's good. After I retuned it, it's been holding good and I'm grouping good and everything's fine. It's just like my broadheads hit a little bit different than my field points.
Could be the broadheads too.
It could be, you know, and they're just hitting slightly to the left.
Because that, I mean, what's a cutting diameter of that on a cutthroat?
I think they're inch and an eighth or inch and a quarter.
So, I mean, that's a significant piece of steel flying through the air, you know, single bevel.
Mm-hmm.
It's only going to spin one way.
Yeah.
So, it's possible that, you know, your bow is spinning the arrow one way. And that broadhead's trying to spin the arrow the other way.
Yeah, maybe.
Or the bow and the fletchings. Maybe the fletchings are, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
something
the
might
broadhead's not
going to
start,
other.
You know, steering things until it gets into the target or deer or whatever.
Right.
Just flying through the air, it's going to be fine.
Yeah. Well, and so that's an argument for some people because they've got fletchings on their bow and their bow, you know, spins the arrow left, but then they got a right helical on or whatever.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, you have to shoot the same. And it straight up doesn't matter. Cause you could, if you watch it in slow-mo, the arrow takes over after like the first 10 feet.
Yeah.
But that's also my reasoning for telling people you shouldn't shoot straight vane. You should have some sort of helical to it. Or at least, at the very least, a little bit of offset.
Yeah, mine are all straight right now. I just want to change my whole arrow setup.
That might be part of your problem, dude. Maybe. Because that arrow might not be steering that enough. And I don't know, two blade, single bevel, three blade with a fletch. I mean, without like doing a bunch of testing, we're not going to know. But it could be part of your problem.
Maybe I'll put some feathers on it.
Are those pre-fletched?
Yeah.
loser.
I never had a, yeah, I never cared for the compound stuff.
We, what I talked to you about with the arrow wraps, I don't want to announce that here because I don't want it to be like a, anyway.
All the listeners would be asking about it.
Yeah, all of our 14 weekly listeners.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm talking about with the arrow wrap?
I do.
Shout out, Brooke. She's still going.
Is she still listening?
She, yeah.
Wow.
We got a couple of shout outs. Tristan, my buddy Tristan, has listened to every episode. He's a huge fan. Vivian listens a lot. My brother and his buddy Austin have been listening a little bit. So shout out those fellas. They wouldn't make it this far into an episode, but shout out those. Tristan will hear this, so yeah. Shout out those guys.
Yeah.
But anyway, with those arrow wraps, we should do those for the Total Archer Challenge. And you two bitch ass motherfuckers don't have a choice. You are shooting the Total Archer Challenge this year.
I wanted to shoot it. I tried to shoot it, but I couldn't get tickets.
Oh, that's right.
You have to get tickets?
Yeah. No, you don't have to.
I'm going to show up and I'm going to look like a fucking idiot.
No, you'd be surprised the kind of people that show up.
Oh, okay.
With some of them. But
I'm going to put that Target stabilizer on the...
You oh, could. There's
that'd be cool. So
there are guys that just walk around vintage. With there are guys that walk around with full Target setups. It's like, dude, you're such a tryhard. Like, what are you doing? We're all shooting hunting bows.
Yeah, but I could do it and like make fun of them.
Yeah,
because my bow doesn't look like it should ever have that.
Yeah. No. Anyway, this year was just there's just too many people, so they're gonna add. They already added one Michigan event.
Way the hell. That's for the Wisconsin guys.
Well, and UP guys too. But I would
just want to do a UP trip.
It's in Ironwood, buddy.
Oh, it's all the way on the border.
It's for the Wisconsin guys. Yeah. It's way over there.
That's dumb.
But
it did look like a sweet course, though.
It is sweet because it's
like all the rocky. It'd
be really cool if they did one at like Mount Bohemia or up in Copper Harbor.
See, I don't know why they didn't because those are like actual like
Mount Bohemia's open year round. That's probably
for what
they do. Like.
They can't take a week off for the Total Archery Challenge.
Because it's coming back to Boyne, isn't it?
It better because they need bigger space. Crystal's too small to do it, man. That's what I'm saying. Like,
oh, well, Sunday, if that's Mount Bohemia probably wouldn't have the range to do long distance shots and stuff like that.
Well, but like this past year or this past spring, Sunday, you should have been able to get on a course Saturday and Sunday. And they're like, no, we are straight up sold out. Like, you cannot get on a course.
Yeah.
The only thing, I was registered for Friday and Saturday, like Saturday at noon or whatever. The only thing they let me do was trade times because I traded with, one of the, dealers that was there, like one of the retailers, somebody who had like a booth or whatever.
Right.
And I was like, hey, like I want to do this. And there's like, well, actually there's a guy looking to shoot closer to midday, but you're going to have to shoot Saturday at like, you know, 8 a.m. I'm like, whatever, that like, who cares? Shoot early. But I was like 140th in line. And I was able to register for two courses. And then there are other guys, like these five dudes from Wisconsin, they all registered at once. They had two courses every day.
Yeah, that's nuts.
All 3 days. I'm like, what? This doesn't even make... How far were you in line? Oh, like 500. What? How do you have access to... You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't get it. Because I hopped on right at the, you know, whatever it was, 10 o'clock or noon or... Or
yeah,
whatever.
It was like 11, because it was 9 a.m. mountain time, so it was like 11 o'clock our time.
Yeah, I mean, I hopped right on, and it was like, nope, sold out.
Straight. Well, then they did the late registration.
Yeah, I don't know if
like
I missed that.
Like a month later. I think you missed it.
Maybe.
But they opened it up for like 2 hours, and then it was boom, sold out again. Because they had like probably had like, you know, a few people cancel or whatever.
Right.
But just rough, dude. And it was fucking packed this year.
Wow.
I mean, like, you literally couldn't. I get it, because I'm the guy that's like, oh, I just, like, just me and my couple buddies. But then there's, like, 40 people that's, like, just me and my couple. So before you know it, you got, like, another 400 people out there.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, no, you can't. It's way too busy. You had to wait, like, Saturday on the course. We were waiting a good 5, maybe 10 minutes between every shot.
Wow.
On a target. Because you'd have a group of, and they actually had to, I've never seen them police it, but they had to enforce their rule of groups no bigger than four. So there would be like a group of six guys or something like that. And they're like, scoot along. Or I think it was eight, because we had said, it was me and five guys from Wisconsin. But yeah, they're like, go. Because there were dudes, you know, you get like 20 guys together. They drive up from Ohio to come shoot. And they're all shooting, you know, whatever. And the guys try to shoot multiple arrows or whatever. It's like, dude, look, I get it. You have a bad shot. Like, you want to try again. If you're on a course and there's nobody behind you, or like you're going pretty fast anyway, like, sure, no problem. When we're standing here all waiting for you to be done shooting and retrieve your arrows so we can shoot, let's move this along.
Yeah, for sure.
Because it took us, I think it took us 5 hours to shoot one course on Saturday.
Wow.
Which is just ridiculous.
Yeah, well, that's how it was when I shot the Reinhardt 100 or whatever.
The R100, yeah.
I mean, me and my dad were waiting forever to shoot that. You know, every target, there was a line of 10 to 15 people.
And you get cold.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, your muscles cool off.
Yeah, we shot our trad bows and stuff, so we didn't really notice that, but we spent all day just waiting around.
Yeah, and then you're more fatigued because you're standing around and having to wait.
Right.
You know, hold on to your bow and whatever.
I do want to do that again, though. It was a cool event. They had some cool targets and whatnot. Like, it was just...
That one's really flat, too.
Oh, it's all flat. There's no... I don't remember there being any elevation.
So, like, you have a total archery challenge, you're going to climb... I don't know. It might be
10 flights of stairs.
No, it's more than that. Crystal Mountain might be maybe from the bottom of the hill to the top might be 300 feet. Maybe. Boyne's probably more than that. Boyne's probably like four.
Yeah,
Boyne's pretty tall.
When I shot it at Boyne, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago.
If you're climbing the face, I mean, you're getting up there.
Yeah, we hiked, I think it was 12 or 13 miles that day.
Shooting one course?
No, we shot 3 or 4. There was only one that we didn't shoot.
I shot two courses. Well, I shot Prime and Sitka in one day last year, Saturday, I think, Prime and Sitka. And they were the two longest, like, walking courses and longest shots. And that was 16 miles, two courses on... but also like walking around the entire venue.
Right.
And I was there from, you know, 7 a.m. until, you know, 9:30 or whatever.
Yeah, when for sure.
The party was over.
Where at Crystal is it? Is it like the main face? Like,
It's the entire mountain. The entire mountain shuts down. The only thing that, I don't even think they accept, they probably are accepting reservations, but like even the golf lodge, there's archers staying in the golf lodge.
Yeah.
So it's like literally the only thing happening on that weekend is
archery.
The archery.
Yeah.
They had a whole indoor section this year because it was raining. So there were guys playing cornhole and they had like a food area or whatever. It's pretty cool. Just like a little hangout spot. They brought a couple of vendors inside.
That's cool.
I just wish they had an indoor archery range. That would have been sweet. I'd have spent a lot of time
good luck
there. Yeah, I mean, whatever. Vegas does it.
Right.
You know, anyone can go to that tournament.
Yeah.
That's kind of tempting.
There's one in, What's the, oh, the Lancaster. Lancaster does one.
Oh, the Lancaster Open? Yeah.
Lancaster Classic.
Or the Classic, yeah. But it's a, well, but there's an open class and then there's a known pro or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to do that.
I've always shot men's open. In any of the tournaments, like,
right,
whatever, men's open pro. Just because, like, I don't want any restrictions on my bow, and I don't want to be the winner of the loser's bracket. Like, if I win, I want to win,
right,
you know, the best.
I've been thinking about putting a magnifier on my sight.
Ask Ryan about that.
Really?
Yep. He has a 4x magnifier, and half the time he can't even see his pin. Or the target, because you got a glare on it.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering if it, and like the Spot Hog one is like $80. And
yeah, the UltraView one's $100.
Yeah, it's crazy. So I was like, I don't know if I want it that bad. And it's not like I can, you know, you don't want to just buy it to, you know, fuck around with. It's like,
I would do it for indoor. I'll do it for indoor. Maybe Olympic, you know, like 70 meter.
Right.
But
yeah, Spot Hog makes a, I think they have 4, 6, and 8 power.
Yeah. I've seen,
it's like 8 would I've be seen, crazy.
Well, I've seen 12s.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. But then you have to get a
clarifier
in your peep as well. And then at that point, it's basically like shooting a scope.
Yeah.
Cause it's the same premise. Instead of a reticle though, you have a peep set or a pin.
Mm-hmm. It just open in between.
Yeah. It's difficult too. Because you have to have your peep sight aligned perfectly.
Yeah.
If it's turned, you get a reflection off of that because you're going to reflect light down to that.
Right.
Magnifier in the back. So it's hard. That's why guys will shoot the, not the Raptor peep, the Insight peep. From Hamsky.
Hmm.
It's got this screw in. Whatever.
Oh. Huh.
Remind me when we're done here. I'll take care of that serving on your peep sight.
Oh, yeah. That'd be cool.
The one got loose. I think I cut it a little short before I burned it.
Right.
Just popped off. But. Yep. So, here we are, fellas. Just a couple days away.
Yeah.
Just about there.
Exciting stuff. Got to go sight in the crossbow.
Get the fuck out of here.
Also, this episode, we are announcing Jared leaving the podcast. yeah. You do have to sight in your gun, though.
No, those are all sighted in.
Oh, you did get the AT-6 sighted in?
Oh. Yeah, I need to do like a few more test shots, but it's pretty much there. It'll kill a deer. But I would just
Is
like
the muzzleloader good, though?
The muzzleloader's good to 200. I want to go out to the range that Justin was shooting at and test it at 300, see what happens.
Yeah, we should.
If you guys do that, let me know. I want to shoot. I've never shot 300.
Yeah, it's kind of weird to get 300 out there. It's like you almost got to go when the weather's kind of shitty, so no one else is out there.
Because
if it's a nice day.
Is it a known range?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Gotcha.
And if it's a nice day, people are out there. Like, I always run into people out there every single time. Unless it's, like, just sprinkling or, like.
I miss the range in Chassel so much.
And in the winter, you can go out there in the winter anytime you want. It's just.
Oh, yeah.
Like, my Corolla won't get in there anymore. The Tacoma's fine. You can get in there because it's all packed down from snowmobiles and stuff.
Oh, I've taken that Tacoma with bald summer tires on it, driving through 3 feet of snow.
Yeah.
I mean, those Tacomas will go pretty much anywhere.
Yeah.
I just put it in diff lock and four-wheel drive. Wah, wah, pa, 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 pa. So. Yeah, I mean, well.
It was nice at range. There was never anyone there. Every
really?
Time I shot, there was no one there.
Wow.
And it could be a super nice day. And it's. The other nice thing is you can be sitting in one spot and you never have to get up to shoot different ranges.
That is,
that is cool.
You just aim slightly to your left for 50 yards and then you go 100, 200, 300, 400. They're all right there.
That's I like those huge progressive berms. Archery
yeah.
ranges where right. it's like they got the bag at 20, 30, 40 all the way out.
Yeah.
There's a pistol pit if you want to fuck around with a pistol. There's a shotgun range over to the right of the rifle range, and then it's also gated, so the only people who can get in are members.
Who was saying, which one of you was saying you'd never shot skeet before?
I've never shot skeet.
We need to do that. I love shooting skeet.
It's so much fun.
It is fun.
I don't think you can have
and
more.
And it's cheap.
Yeah.
I mean, you could buy, you could literally
okay,
buy.
Okay, so here's my question. What is the difference between skeet and trap?
So trap, you're going to have a bunch of different state. Trap's like an actual sport where you're going to have
okay,
like a bunch
of. Okay, that's like
of,
five stand or whatever.
No, I mean.
Trap is the one box in the middle, and they all go out on different.
Well, but you can have like stuff flying over your head. You can have them running on the ground or whatever. If you're like,
that's
yeah,
skeet.
We're going to go shoot.
Skeet is like there's the two towers.
Okay, so skeet, they had a shotgun competition and whatnot, right? So they did three gun on Thursdays, and then we did IDPA on Wednesdays, and then they had skeet or trap, whatever it was.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure it sounds like it was trap on or skeet is the multiple position. Sounds like it was a skeet. It was on like Monday or something like that, Monday and Friday, but it was from like, they had four different positions that they threw from. They had A, B, C, and D.
A lot of times you'll have them.
And then you stood in one position, and then like after you've shot it for 2 weeks, you know exactly where all the clays are going to be.
Yeah, for sure.
A lot of times you get them like across in the air. You got to shoot both of them. You have one run across the ground, and you have one like flush straight away from you.
Mm-hmm. So trap is the one where it's just one stand in the center throwing in all different directions.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I like just, if you just have like a clay launcher with your buddies or launching by hand.
I like doing it by hand better.
That's the best way to do it. Like, I would never go to, I shouldn't say never. I wouldn't regularly go to a range to shoot skeet or trap because it's just like I don't duck hunt, I don't rabbit hunt with a shotgun. I don't do like the only bird hunting I do is turkey hunting. But shooting clays is fun. And the reason I don't bird hunt is cuz I'm not going to eat a goose, I'm not going to eat a duck. I don't like the way duck tastes.
I would eat a duck. I love duck.
I do like duck.
We should go duck hunting.
I will duck hunt if you guys will take them. If you guys will take the duck. I personally, and if you cook duck for me, I'll try it, but I don't like the way duck
tastes. Just give it to Todd.
So
Todd's good at it. But I've never been duck hunting. I want to go.
I've never done like anything other than deer hunting. So.
Oh, boy. That one might be a good segment.
My,
We kind of suck at hunting in general, so.
Yeah, my buddy, he was telling me he and his dad do like every type of hunting. They just buy every tag that the DNR offers, and they do all of them.
Yeah,
and he was like,
"I would
yeah.
grouse hunt."
He's like, "We'll take
Keegan
you out
said
on
it
all of
tastes
them."
Like chicken, mm-hmm. So I would grouse hunt. But
yeah, my buddy's supposed to take me out. So
duck hunting.
Yeah,
learn what you can, dude. Let's go try it. I'd be down.
Go out once. All right, I know it.
I know a couple spots in Kalkaska.
No, but you'll know the basics about like, you know, just ask him, you know, because there are guys that are like, you gotta have this specific decoy spread, and you can only hunt when the water temperature is this.
He's got a fucking dipshit for a dog.
Yeah,
and he's
dog.
Yeah, he's got his dog.
You don't even have to have a dog, dude.
Yeah, I know, but his dog is funny as shit. He named it Leroy. He calls him Leroy because he's a fucking idiot.
That's awesome.
But he does. He's learning retrieving and whatnot. I give him credit. He may act like an idiot, but
let's settle this right now on the podcast, right before we wrap things up here. I'm gonna ask Jared a question. You're gonna be quiet until I get to you, okay, Justin?
Get real defensive
okay.
here.
Okay. Yeah.
Dogs or cats? No, just dogs or cats.
Well, you already know my answer. Dogs. I hate cats.
Okay.
One, I'm allergic. Two, they're dirty. And dogs are dirty, but they don't crawl around in their own feces and then go climb around with their cold, wet paws on you.
Try to lick you with their nasty tongue.
And they fucking stink. They shit in the house.
Dogs can stink too. What's your favorite kind of dog? Just Labs?
I love Labs. Yeah.
Okay. Justin, obviously you're a cat guy.
I'm more of a cat person, I feel like.
Uh-huh.
You would be.
You fucking weirdo.
I do like dogs, though.
What? Why cats over dogs? Nobody's ever been able to give me a solid reason.
Yeah, I just, like, A, you don't have to do shit with them. So, like, I'm a busy guy. I don't have time for a dog. I could get a cat. It's just going to chill at home.
Yeah, depending on your dog breed, you could get a dog.
Yeah, but
It's not the best scenario because dog has to be house trained so it doesn't.
You could go full white trash and just chain it to a tree with a dog house nearby.
True.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
True.
But I don't know. I've always, you know, I grew up with cats and I like cats. Cats are cool.
I just like, I'm obviously a dog person. I'm starting to come around to cats, you know. A couple years ago, I'd have been like, no, I hate all cats. But like, I've met a couple of cats that are all right, dude, you know.
My old cat, Duford,
Duford?
Yeah, his name's Duford.
Yeah. That's awesome.
He's all black. And he's got like a little bit of an overbite, so he has two like front canines or whatever like hang out. So he's got these little fangs, and he is a straight up murderer.
Where is he now?
At Shannon's.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's still around, but he'll freaking kill wasps and mice and like
that is cool.
He's a killer.
Hank,
my dog Kenzie was a killer. She anything that moved, she wanted to kill it.
Yeah. That's my dog, Layla.
But, well, not necessarily. It was, like, very small things. We had a small dog. She was at the campground, and we had her with one of those, like, plastic buckle collars, and she ran and just snapped the buckle. She gets to this dog and just starts running circles around it. Like, she wasn't hurting it, but she was letting it know, hey, that's what's up.
Right.
I could end you.
Right.
But, like, she loved tackling squirrels. She would run. She'd jump and catch a bird midair.
That's awesome.
And just chomp down and kill a bird.
Right.
Rabbits.
I've seen pheasant dogs do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She was a Lab and Chesapeake Bay Retriever mix.
Oh, yeah. So she's born for that.
She was a retriever through and through.
Yeah. So Hank, he's an English Mastiff. He's like 180, 190 pounds. Like, he's a big boy, right? But this dog, you walk home, like, I'll come home from work. And he sits at the front door.
That dog's a pussy.
Yeah, he is. But he will sit at the front door, and I'll like squat down to say what's up to him. He comes over, puts his head on my shoulder, gives me a hug as soon as I get home. It's
that's
the funniest
awesome.
Thing ever.
That's
dude.
Cool.
He's like, he's just he's so sweet. But yeah, he's afraid.
And then
of
I come
flies.
Over and try to pet him, and he takes off running.
It's worse with Jake, dude. He fucking hates Jake. He
well,
just
yeah,
runs away.
Well, yeah, it's Jake. Jake, if you're listening.
Yeah.
You are the problem.
You're a problem. You're a real, real problem. Oh, shit. Yeah. I don't know, dude. Goofiness.
Yeah. I love dogs.
Yeah, dogs are great. We
and you do cool stuff with dogs, you know, like take them skiing and teach them how to ride a surfboard or stuff like that. You
have
know?
You seen
I
the
do, skate? Do that with
have
cats.
You seen the skateboarding dog?
Yeah, I've seen that.
That's
I've seen
awesome. Or the surfing.
I've seen
dog.
Surfing. I've seen you know, obviously skiing. They don't actually ski; they just run alongside you. But yeah.
Well, we talked about a whole lot and a whole lot of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Yeah,
that was a good episode. I mean, we're just kind of in a weird point right now, kind of some last minute season prep and making sure everything's good to go. Double, triple checking, kind of last weekend before we really start getting after it, and then it'll be full blown deer season. So, pretty exciting. You guys, got anything to add before we wrap it up?
I don't think so.
I think we're good.
All right. Well, listen, we appreciate everyone for listening. If you'd like to support the show, We do have an Instagram page. It's Knox and Nature underscore podcast. And that is the word and, not an ampersand like we use in the logo, because apparently that's not allowed for Instagram handles. So Knox and Nature underscore podcast on Instagram if you want to support us there. You can also either rate or write a review for the show, depending on what's appropriate for the platform. But either way, we appreciate everyone for listening, and we will catch you in the next one.